We're talking about a rescue bill for the U.S. Postal Service and the latest on its operations ahead of November. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Attorneys general for more than 20 states, including Wisconsin, are suing the Trump administration over operational changes that may threaten mail delivery leading up to the November election. But wait, the Postmaster General announced yesterday that changes being made to the Postal Service would be suspended until after the election. Lots of developments. We will break it down, take your questions. How important is the post office to you? How satisfied are you with the services provided by the U.S. Postal Service and charges for package delivery? We're at 800-642-1234. Jacob Bogage is a business reporter for The Washington Post. Jacob, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me again.
All right, so we're not going to start with the announcement from the Postmaster General yesterday. We're going to get some context here. Starting with earlier this month, Post Office warns 46 states, including Wisconsin, that it couldn't guarantee timely delivery of mailed election ballots. So what is happening there? Why did officials feel they can't deliver on the ballots on time?
Yeah, this is a bit of an attitude change from years past for the Postal Service. So they would have these conversations with state officials in other, you know, for previous elections. But those conversations would be more along the lines of warnings and asking, how can we help, rather than saying, we're telling you what our service standards are. And if you can't conform to that, it's on you. And so this is the Postal Service, you know, making a statement that we can't help you here. These are our times. If you can't match up with our times, then you should change your laws. We can't divert more resources, or we can't prioritize your election mail over other mail or over other states. And with, you know, it's 46 states. That's all pretty much everybody. Yeah. So, that was an issue.
All right. So with this attitude change or a different approach, how have states reacted to this warning?
With litigation, with lawsuits. I mean, that's what we mentioned at the top. Right now, it's 21 states. I think more could even be joining, states attorneys general suing the Postal Service, hoping to force Postmaster General Louis DeJoy to take the force of law and apply it to his decision to suspend these operational changes. It's also not totally clear all the operational changes he's willing to suspend or that will stay in place. You know, we reported about mail machines being taken offline, 671 mail machines. Well, mail sorting machines. Well, 658 of those were scheduled to be taken offline before the month of August. They're already gone. So, you know, sure, he can say we're suspending some of these operational changes, but, you know, I've had a lot of sources tell me the damage has been done, and now we've really got to get a court to tell this guy no more. You really can't make any more changes.
Oh, so there were changes going on before, and now the question is, suspending is one thing, but will you go back and reverse course and put back those machines? And what you're probably anticipating is the answer is no.
Exactly. I mean, a lot of these times when machines are removed, and the Postal Service, we should be clear, removes machines for all kinds of reasons, good reasons, reasons that are well vetted, and we don't know that. I mean, I'm not saying that's not the case about these, but we don't really know it to be the case. When machines get removed, they get recycled. You know, they get disassembled. They get can they use parts for other machines for maintenance, or can they recycle those materials into other machinery or other, you know, metal items. There's a very good chance a lot of these machines are gone. And they're, you know, I don't know if you've seen them, and probably not because they're inside these distribution centers, but these are giant, hulking, massive things. When you take one of them out, it takes a long time to put it back in.
Mm.
So if it's gone, we can probably expect it to stay gone between now and November.
We're talking with Jacob Bogage, who is a business reporter at the Washington Post. We're learning the latest developments on the U.S. Postal Service and its embattled Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy. You can join in with your questions. What would you like to see, you know, the post office do at this point? Do you want it privatized, or is it an essential service that the government needs to maintain? Do you rely on the post office for your business or getting your medication? How important is it to you? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Jim in Freedom. Hi, Jim.
Hello. I've been talking to a lot of people about this, and most people agree with me that we should probably, in residential areas only, go to 2 days a week delivery, because the first thing I do at most of the mail I pick up is walk by my recycling bin and throw half of it away when I get home. The only two bills I get are my electric bill and some medical bills. That's it. And most of them have a 20-day grace period on them. We have cell phones and new ways of communicating. We don't need that mail truck going by our house every day. Just, I don't need a garbage truck pick my garbage up every day, and I don't need a mailman dropping by and dropping mail off my house. Just think of all the few we'd save just by not having these trucks run by our houses every day. And you could eliminate probably half your carriers, which would maybe make the retirement account that they have for the rest of them get balanced.
Jim, so, thanks. Jacob, has this been floated, reducing delivery down to a couple days a week?
It's definitely, reducing delivery days have definitely been floated. The Postal Service has studied going from 6-day delivery down to 5-day delivery. They've studied, you know, getting rid of Saturday delivery. I don't know that that could ever get through Congress, and not just because Democrats would be opposed to it, but because Republicans would be opposed to it. The Postal Service is an incredibly well-liked, beloved institution. People generally love the services it provides. Anytime you take those services away, that's really hard to get through Congress. And frankly, when you do take those services away, the people who are hit the most are folks in rural areas who may not have the same kind of access to private express carriers like FedEx or UPS or Amazon, who may not go out to those areas and may use the Postal Service to go out to those areas. Also, you know, I've been talking with lawmakers who say some of my constituents don't have broadband access. You know, some of these people don't have reliable internet connection the same way the rest of us do. You want to cut the Postal Service off to them? So I think that's why, yes, it would solve a lot of their financial problems. I also think it's a non-starter at this point.
And so it's looking to balance its books. It's trying to get out of debt. President Trump has been blocking more funding for the Postal Service. What argument is he making in withholding funds?
Well, he's made a couple different arguments. The first one was, I think, when I first joined your show a few months ago, was back when the pandemic really started hitting in March and April. President Trump in the Oval Office said he wouldn't approve a emergency coronavirus aid package to the Postal Service unless it quadrupled package prices. Again, that's a move that a lot of folks would worry about the future of the Postal Service if you did that, because a lot of these businesses that use the Postal Service to send packages would find it at that point a lot cheaper to use a private express carrier. So that's, and it would drive away very crucial business that's kind of keeping it afloat right now through the pandemic. So that's one. And then two was most recently the president talking about aid the Postal Service. He thinks it needs to facilitate mail-in balloting. And that's not totally correct, but that is also what kind of pushed this issue to the forefront. The fact that the Postal Service, the fact that the president thinks he can disenfranchise Americans and hobble their ability to cast their ballot in the November election by depriving them of essential services through the post office.
We have Washington Post business reporter Jacob Bogage breaking down the developments on the U.S. Postal Service and how lawmakers on Capitol Hill are responding to future changes. You can join in with your insights, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the financial and political challenges of the U.S. Postal Service here in the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. U.S. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy announced yesterday he is suspending cost-cutting operational changes until after the November elections. This comes as attorneys general around the country, including Wisconsin, mount lawsuits this week over service changes that have prompted widespread reports of mail delays. And lawmakers on Capitol Hill want answers. How do you want Congress to intervene? What is the path forward for mail delivery in our country? It's 800-642-1234. Washington Post business reporter Jacob Bogage is our guide. Let's bring in Emily now in Prairie du Sac. Hi, Emily.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My opinion is that the Postal Service should definitely not be taking any... No funds should be taken away. I am on a medication that is only able to come to me via mail, and that's for my chronic myeloid leukemia, and I'm only 46. I've heard of a lot of, especially older adults, that receive their medications through the mail, and I think it is awful that they're taking money away from the post office right now for people like me.
Emily, thank you for sharing your situation. We also heard from John in Wheeler, couldn't stay on the line, but wanted to say this is really important to John, doesn't have a cell phone or email, relies on the mail for everything, medical, paychecks, everything. So as we're hearing that, you know, this is a lifeline, Jacob.
Yeah, it is. And when we talk about the Postal Service and the issues going on right now, it's really easy to slip into talking about vote by mail and ballots and election information. But there are a million reasons why we need a functioning postal service every day, and not just on November 3rd. It's Emily getting her medications. It's folks getting paychecks in the mail and bills. It's getting mail from your grandmother that, you know, I mean, like, there's so many reasons why, and so many important items that go through the mail, that limiting our concern about vote by mail to strictly November 3rd is problematic.
Louis DeJoy, who was named Postmaster General in June, he will be before Congress to testify on Friday and Monday. What are you watching for and listening for in these hearings?
Sure. So from Republicans, especially in the Senate hearing, I'm looking for a discussion on how much money the Postal Service really needs. And we're gonna roll up our sleeves and get into the weeds of the finances for a minute. The Postal Service has $15 billion in the bank, billion with a B. That's a ton of money for the Postal Service. And it's losing a lot less money per month than it expected to, because its package volumes are so high, because everyone's buying stuff online, because they don't want to go to the grocery store if they don't have to. They don't want to go to the shopping mall if they don't have to. So the Postal Service is actually, the numbers inside break down differently, but the top line numbers, it's doing about as well as it did last year, which is crazy considering the circumstances. So it's got that $15 billion. It's losing a lot less money. And then it's got a $10 billion loan from the Treasury Service to backstop it all. And then congressional Democrats are looking for more funding just in case something goes wrong, or to provide more vote by mail resources. So the upshot of that is the Postal Service does have a lot of money. It's not going to risk going bankrupt between now and November. But there's conversations about getting some additional aid. And I think that's what I'm looking for Republicans to try to drill down on and determine whether or not it truly needs that aid. From Democrats, I'm really looking for them to get into the relationship between the Postmaster General and the president, and how the Postmaster General came to decide or develop some of these policy changes that we've seen slow the mail down.
And what did DeJoy outline yesterday in his statement? Of course, it was suspending what he had planned to do, but what actions are not going through before November?
Yeah, so after the dust cleared, we're not really sure. There were a few things the Postmaster General explicitly said he would stop doing. And some of these, you know, predated him, but continued under his tenure. The first, you know, two are he wouldn't remove any more bulk mail sorting machines. That said, 650 some of those have already been removed out of 671 they were planning to remove. So that, you know, he doesn't really have any more to do. And he wouldn't remove or relocate any more public mailboxes, those blue, big, iconic collection boxes. We wouldn't take up any more of those. He also said he'd reinstate overtime hours. That's something that he had cracked down on and said we're not going to use overtime to deliver the mail anymore, and that was creating delays. What would basically happen is, in some communities, if your letter carrier or your mail clerk couldn't show up to work, your mail wouldn't go out because there was no one to replace them. And then he also said we will use extra trips to deliver the mail. They had a policy in place which was basically delivering today's mail tomorrow. And they said, we will stop that and we will use extra trips that we wouldn't have used previously to deliver the mail. There are a bunch of other changes that we're not sure if what he put out yesterday is a promise to rescind those as well. And we're not sure some of the stuff he had in progress, if he'll reinstate any of those, like the mailboxes, for example. Will they put mailboxes back in the locations where they removed them? We're not sure, and the Postal Service hasn't answered our questions about it.
Talking with Jacob Bogage, who's a business reporter for The Washington Post, we're getting up to speed on the U.S. Postal Service situation and the latest decisions from Postmaster General Louis DeJoy. Let's take another call now. Jim is joining us from Dubuque, Iowa this morning. Hi, Jim.
Hi. As far as the post office box, I think, you know, they've removed some like 14,000. It's been going on over a long period of time. It began in the last administration. A lot of these boxes are places where people put one or two pieces of mail in there over, you know, a day, and it's inefficient to have someone drive there and empty it. The main concern I have is not only the Postal Service delivering ballots. It's the accuracy of the voter registration rolls. For example, in L.A., you have 117% of the population getting a ballot. 117% of the people that ought to be able to get one, you know, they've got 17% more than that total number of people.
And so you're worried about the accuracy of those addresses and ensuring those ballots get to the right address. And that, too, is labor intensive, Jacob.
It is. I'll just say, you know, about the mailboxes quickly. Jim's right. When I asked the Postal Service about this, they said they remove boxes on a case by case basis based on low volume. But they didn't really elaborate on what kind of threshold they would consider to be low volume or worthy of removal. In terms of, so I still have questions about that, and I'll still keep, you know, reporting and trying to understand that. In terms of the voter rolls, you know, I am not a voting expert, but, you know, that's not, you know, I cover the Postal Service, but I can tell you from my reporting on Postal Service and vote by mail where those have collided. Yes, there are some jurisdictions where the voter rolls exceed the population. That's natural. That's frankly going to be most jurisdictions. Voter rolls are hard to, you know, are hard to keep up, and you clean them up, you know, every year before an election for folks who are deceased or folks who have moved away. But there is very little evidence, in fact, almost no evidence of fraud in vote-by-mail elections. I think there's a perception from a lot of folks that ballots go out, they get sent back in, and then you just count them. There's a rigorous verification process there. There's folks who check signatures, folks who check addresses, folks who check if ballots have come in from other jurisdictions. And it's a felony to submit a ballot that is not yours or in a jurisdiction where you don't live. And so these concerns we have about the accuracy of the vote, I think, are come from a good place, but may not be based on what we what we really should expect or what we've seen in previous elections.
Do you think this current crisis helped clarify any way support or opposition for the Postal Service with the public?
Absolutely. I mean, I think so the president in April calls the Postal Service a joke and says it wants it to increase its package prices, and immediately gets hit with a bunch of interest groups, television ads and radio ads all over the country saying, no, that's a bad idea. And the White House goes quiet on it. The White House, you know, the president on Wednesday night last week and Thursday last week says, oh, I'm going to hold funding from the Postal Service so it won't be able to do vote by mail, and gets absolutely slammed and gets his postmaster general hauled in front of Congress. And then we hear that Mark Meadows say, oh, no, the chief of staff say, oh, no, we'll take $10 billion. And then the president tweets, save the post office. I mean, I think he backed himself into a corner he really wasn't anticipating, and it illuminated very clearly American support for the Postal Service.
Jacob, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure.
Jacob Bogage is a business reporter for The Washington Post. He's reporting on the financial and political strains facing the U.S. Postal Service. Coming up, we hear from a UW-Madison athletics official about what the cancellation of the Big Ten fall sports season means for the university. That's after this news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.